All right, we're back with more from the Ackerman CenterFit Real Estate Summit 2014. We're here with my good friend, Eric Rapkin. Eric, why don't you introduce our guests?
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. On my immediate right, Daryl Parmenter, President and CEO of Parmenter Realty Partners, private REIT based here in Miami. And Bruce Mosler, Chairman of Global Brokerage for Cushman & Wakefield.
Wow, you brought the stars out for me today.
You did.
I guess we're going to talk office. So, Daryl, why don't we start with you? You've always been an opportunistic buyer of office. It seems like now might be the time with the economy starting to pick up that we'd see rising vacancies. What might the impact be of the rising tide here in America on the office market?
Well, Jim, I think it's good. Let me first of all say that this is the 25th anniversary of our company, and Eric Rapkin has been representing us for 25 years.
Eric, since you were 5 years old, huh?
Exactly.
High five to you guys. High five.
So the office market, as it always is a market in transition. The vacancies are improving slowly, and they're improving along with office employment growth, as one might imagine. There are exceptions to that. Houston, a city that we're well invested in, is probably leading the country in job growth. It's maybe the only city in the country that has a number of cranes building brand new buildings with rents that are going to be, or already are, at historic highs, rents in excess of $40 a foot net. So some of the highest rents in the country. We're a little cautious on Houston because of the amount of construction that's taking place and overlaying that with absorption. But overall, the markets are good. We're still using or utilizing buildings that were built in the 80s, but we're about to run out.
Wow, and that kind of brings me to you, Bruce, because it's your job to fill up the buildings. What are you seeing? It sounds like we're getting job growth. It sounds like the oil patch and the fracking world is driving things in places like Pittsburgh and Houston. What do you see as some good office markets coming down the road?
Well, we've seen a phenomenon occur in the last 12 months. Up until that point in time, you saw investment largely in the gateway cities, and we saw record pricing achieved in places like New York. Over 1,200 per square foot trophy properties were trading again at record prices. All of this, by the way, in a recovery span of less than 5 years. We saw markets emerge like Midtown South, which were traditionally $40, $50 markets, are now $70, $80 markets. And driving the growth in Midtown South and downtown and even Midtown. So there's been a remarkable recovery in that regard. Because we've seen cap rate compression this year, we expect to see investment move into the secondary cities and the tertiary marketplaces. A little bit of yield chasing is going to go on. But we think that's a sign of a very healthy gateway marketplace overall.
Well, that sounds terrific. It seems like office is starting to pick up, and one of the things that Daryl somewhat alluded to in his comments is the aging stock of the office product. Daryl, we're always going to see the top firms moving from C to B, B to A. It seems like now we're going to have them moving from A to A plus. What do you think about that?
Well, there's certainly a great deal of that occurring. Our business is value add, where we buy buildings that we can do certain things to, for the most part, to bring them from an A to an A plus or a B plus to an A. So there's some of that going on, but there really is very little new construction. So the A plus buildings would probably be those that are going to be built over the next 3 or 4 years.
So it sounds to me that there's a pretty good opportunity for retrofit in some of the B and C buildings to try to bring them up to grade. I would think that if I was an owner of some of that and I could bring the most modern technology, it seems like that might be a strategy. Bruce, you were talking about movement of capital chasing yield into some of the secondary markets. Who were some of the darlings for 2014 and 2015 on your radar screen?
So back to the investment sales side, I think that we'll see significant investment in places like Dallas. Locationally, employment base, all those things I think build in marketplaces like that. Also industry driven, as Daryl said, Houston, Seattle, because of the tech sector. These are places that I think we're beginning to see significant action in. And I think even in strategic markets like Miami, we're going to see the pace pick up a bit.
You know, now you picked up on Miami, and I'm going to break the rhythm here, Daryl. I know I was going to go to you, but Bruce mentioned Miami for just a second. I know you're global, Bruce. When I look at a map and I see Miami and I look at the Atlantic Ocean, it seems to me like the Miami is perfectly located within all of the hemispheres to become an international hub. We hear a lot of talk about that. We hear international investors. We see them. What's your perspective?
Well, Well, you're absolutely right. South America's been a keen investor in Miami, traditionally speaking, but largely in the residential sector. I think that we're going to see growth in marketplaces like Miami, even on the commercial side. That's been unprecedented, and I think that's going to be driven by the live, work, play, all the things you get from an office sector and a city like Miami.
Yeah, having lived here my whole life, it seems to me what we're seeing now is neighborhoods becoming cities unto themselves with traffic making it difficult. You need to see all of the little neighborhoods vertically integrated. Daryl, you live here too. What do you think about the Miami office market and the future for the next couple of years now that we've delivered some world-class buildings and we've got some more world-class buildings on the plate?
Yeah, I certainly concur with what Bruce said. I think the challenge in Miami is that Miami is not a corporate city, so it doesn't have a lot of large users, and which makes it a bit skinny from an office perspective. So even though Miami is in and is emerging into a real world-class city, and I think that'll continue, the demand for large blocks of office space is fairly minimal relative to other cities.
Well, I think that's one of the problems with getting new office buildings off the ground, and I think that's another reason why we've seen most of the new office buildings that have been built here recently been supported by foreign capital that would have what I would call, quote, the alternative agenda. Now, just a minute or two left, and I wanted to ask Bruce a question. What's the impact of technology on office? Because a guy walked up to me that works for a big company that's got a blue and red logo on, and he said, I've got my office in my hand. What is the impact of that?
Okay, so I this is one of the questions that we get quite often, and I feel pretty passionate about this. First, I would say that for the last decade, we have seen companies become more efficient. Technology has been out there for years. It has not changed fundamentally the fact that people need to collaborate, need to be in places together to think, to create. That is what drives companies' profit and bottom line. Let me give you a specific. In New York, right now, we are seeing the fire sector slow down, and that has been picked up in spades by the tech sector. Young kids want to be in urban environments, want to play together, work together, live together, and at the end of the day, that is why the urban office sector market will thrive.
Oh, and I got to translate into English. We had some jargon. I got a jargon alert here. Fire is finance, insurance, and real estate sector. High five to you. We've only got 30 seconds left. Daryl, can you give me a wrap? What do you see in office coming in the next couple of years?
Well, I think to pick up on what Bruce said, what we're seeing around the country is something, a trend that we started seeing probably 15 years ago in a project called Reston Town Center in Northern Virginia, and that is mixed-use developments in urban centers, live-work-play environments where the young people, the millennials, can gather. As we know, a lot of them today don't even have a driver's license. They take rapid transit or they take transit and don't need a car. That'll continue.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We're working on all kinds of multifamily. I call mixed use a way to cost share on an overpriced land. This is Jim Fried. I want to thank us. Eric, take us out.
Thank you very much, Jim, Bruce, Daryl. Another terrific time. Thanks again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We'll be right back with more from the Ackerman Center for 2014 Real Estate Summit. Take it away, Oscar.